We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide us now as we meditate upon another section of the Word which you've given us for the salvation of our souls. And pray that you reveal the treasures which are hidden in here to us and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of Him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 10, verses 21 through 24, hidden and revealed. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Did we really read that correctly? In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. Why? Why would the Father hide things from people? Why would the Father hide things from the wise and prudent? God is a God of love. God is a God who reveals himself. He doesn't hide himself. God is a God of love. True. But the Father loves the Son. And the wise and prudent do not love the Son. We could perhaps look at this as what's going to unfold on the last day at a marriage. And remember, at that time, all of the dead are going to be raised. And we're going to be standing before the judgment seat of God. And we'll find out clearly then that there are only two families on this earth. There's a family of God, and there's a family of the devil. And the family of God is a very close-knit family. You know, the disciples were analyzing things during the 3 years that they were with Jesus. And finally, they figured out that there was just one piece of the puzzle that was missing. And they wanted Jesus to provide it. They said to him, Master, show us the Father. And then we'll be satisfied. That was a missing piece. Show us the Father. The answer was, have I been with you so long and you haven't seen the Father? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So the missing piece of the puzzle was right before their eyes this whole time. The truth of the matter is that if you want to know what the Father's like, look at the Son. Because the Son is the splitting image of the Father. The two agree on every single thing. And if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. So Jesus is speaking here in our text when he's rejoicing about the Heavenly Father hiding things from the wise and prudent. He's thinking about himself as a bridegroom standing at the altar waiting for the Father to bring the bride down to him. And there are other people, enemies of his, that are trying to break into the wedding and spoil it. That's the picture. So the closeness of the family of God, all things are delivered to me of my Father. This is the text yet. And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and to whom the Son will reveal him. So not just anybody can break into this family unit. It's a close-knit group. It's a very small remnant that was chosen by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in eternity past. And no man can know the Son unless the Father reveals the Son. He does that through the Holy Spirit and the Word. And no man can know the Son, the Father, unless he's revealed by the Son. So you can't break your way in. We could almost say it's by invitation only, if you don't misunderstand that. But then he continues. He turned unto his disciples and said privately, now this is privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you, that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, but they have not seen them. And to hear those things which ye hear, but have not heard them. So these two families, the family of God, and these include all those who love Jesus Christ, obey him as their loving master, and will become his bride throughout all eternity and live with him in his kingdom of glory. Family of the devil are the seed of the wicked one, and they hate Jesus Christ. Love on the one side, hatred on the other. And the children of the devil would just love to break into the wedding feast and spoil the whole thing. And as the Son stands at the marriage altar waiting for the Father to bring his bride down, he's thankful. And in that hour, the hour of the wedding day, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. Thank God that you didn't let them break in. Thank God that you kept them out. But you've revealed them unto babes. The one that the Holy Spirit has given that simple childlike faith that just loves and obeys. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. So, Jesus had just, in the context a little bit here, Jesus had just sent out 70 disciples to preach the word and heal and perform miracles and cast out devils, and they were highly successful, and they came back really pumped up, but for the wrong reason. He said, notwithstanding in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. This would be a wonderful, wonderful way to begin every day, would it not? To begin the day by thanking God that He has chosen us before the foundations of the world to be part of His very small remnant, the bride of His only begotten Son. It doesn't get any better than this. And if you've got this, if you're a member of the family, not only as a child now, but as the bride of Jesus Christ, it doesn't get any better than that. What a neat way to begin every single day. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 9 puts it this way, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. The very small remnant. And the Heavenly Father, now we're talking in this text here about Jesus Christ as a true human being. He has two natures now. He's God throughout all eternity. He had no beginning. He was not created. He's the one that was doing the creating with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He's eternal God. But in grace and love and mercy, He left His throne of glory in heaven and came down to the manger at Bethlehem. And He became a true human being. Born into the world just the same way you and I were. Growing in grace and knowledge just the same way you and I had to, only in perfection. And now, about to be married to His bride that has been given to Him by the Father and brought up by the Holy Spirit, and enter eternal glory with her. And the devil tries everything he can to stop it, but it doesn't work. So, we're going to take a look at both of the families at this point because it's so important. And first of all, the family of the wicked one. And these are the ones to whom the Father hid these things. They're hidden. They're not revealed. They are hidden. And as we look at these, we see a perfect example of by far the majority of the church, the visible church, in our own day, and as it has been throughout all history. They try to break in. They try to force their way in onto the marriage altar and spoil the marriage. That's their goal. And the reason is because they hate the bridegroom and they hate the bride. That's their marching order. So the Holy Spirit tells us in the opening verses of Isaiah chapter 1, And again, you will not have a better example of the visible church in our own day than you have right here by the Holy Spirit. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Judah was the tribe from which the Savior would come. And Jerusalem was the city of God. He dwelt there. And the vision is concerning Jerusalem and Judah. In the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahab, and Hezekiah, did you count them? Uzziah, 1. Jotham, 2. Ahaz, 3, and Hezekiah, 4. 4 is the number of the world. And these men were kings in Israel, kings of Judah. You see what's happened? Isaiah pictures it this way, that the beast from the land joins forces with the serpent, Leviathan, from the sea, and the two are together. This is the worst condition the church can possibly be in. It's a combination of earthly government and spiritual religion, heathen religion. That's what's happening. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. What's left? This is supposed to go out to everybody. For the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, but they have rebelled against me. It's ever Satan's way to attack the family unit. He knows how valuable the family unit is to a child of God. And he's trying in our own day to do everything he can to split the family unit. We see it happening in our own country. So continuing in Isaiah 1. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. In other words, fallen mankind has sunk below the animal creation. Plain and simple. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. That, you see, that's why God, out of love and mercy, in love toward his son, who's about to be married to his bride, that's why he's keeping these others out. They're in the visible church, but they're not in the invisible church, and they're not going to be in the kingdom of glory as a bride of Christ. That's not going to happen, even though they're trying. They're called hypocrites. And listen to the description of these hypocrites, what they look like. They are children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They have gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. It's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. They're not going to repent. Pride and arrogance. The whole head is sick. They don't think right. The whole heart is faint. They don't have a good heart either. They have an evil heart. You see why the Son is thankful now that the Heavenly Father hid these truths so that they couldn't break into the wedding? Thank God. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They've not been closed, neither mollified, neither bound up, nor mollified with ointment. From the human side of things, even their mother doesn't want to touch them. So ugly. Your country is desolate? Well, sure it is. It's God's judgment on it, that's why. Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire. This is a good description here of what hell is going to be like. It's going to be all wiped out. Your land, the strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion, Zion's a symbol here of God's elect, the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in the garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. She's all by herself. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. And you all know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. If you want to see what the remnants are, go to the Dead Sea and look at the southern end of it. So this is the one family of the two that are on this earth, the one being the children of the devil. And God is a God of love. And the Father loves the Son. And if the people, the enemy, hate the Son, God is going to hate them. And God loves the bride of the Son. He's the one that chose her with the Son and the Holy Spirit before the foundation of the world. And the Father loves her. She's a member of the family now. She's his daughter-in-law, wed to his only begotten Son to live in the kingdom of glory. And she's small compared to the heathen, but she's very, very blessed. And so, yeah, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. Reveal them unto the babes. Notice the double reference. He is hiding and he's revealing. You got the wise and prudent on the one side, the world wise, know how to do it in this world, and you've got the babes on the other side. These two groups. It's always been that way from the Garden of Eden onward. Nothing has changed. Some things change so little. And then to look at the other side of it, what's it going to be like for the bride when the Holy Spirit and Father bring her down the marriage altar and give her in marriage to the only begotten Son? What is it going to be like? And so the opposite of the hiding is the revealing. And the opposite of the darkness is the light. And cursed is the one family. Depart from me, ye wicked, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And the opposite side is blessed. And the Son of God started his most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, with the word blessed. And this is your future and mine as a bride of Jesus Christ. Matthew 5. And seeing the multitudes, and there were countless numbers out there. He was followed by thousands and thousands of people. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And he was set. And when he was set, his disciples came to him. Now, what about the others? They went away. So now he's talking to his disciples. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't get any better than that. A humble, childlike spirit, sorry for sins, repentant of them, and a coming to Christ for forgiveness. Blessed are the poor in spirit, not the haughty ones. I don't need any help. I can do it on my own, thank you. But the ones who realize they can't do it on their own. The poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, mourning mainly over their sins they commit every single day, even though they try not to. But they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, meditating upon the word of God day and night, praying for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And they're hungering after this, and they shall be full. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, peace between God and the sinner, through the blood of Christ, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness. Well, why does that happen? It happens because the children of the devil hate the children of God. That's why it happens. That's why there's this separation. That's why God hid the truths. The Heavenly Father hid the truths from the wicked ones, because they hate his son and they hate the bride. And so this persecution comes, but it's all controlled by the Father. Don't forget that. There are blessings in it for his own. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. So you've only got the two families, and these two families are mentioned. The best way of understanding the text that we're looking at is to use the analogy of the marriage at the final day. And it's the son who's thanking the father. God, I thank thee that thou hast hid these things from this vicious, vicious enemy. But you reveal them unto babes. We're members of the family of God, that mysterious family of God. And as the bride of his only begotten son. That's how it's all going to end up. It doesn't get any better than that.